Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord. Hallelujah. In this place, glory be to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible says to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. Hallelujah. Come on, clap those hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You have welcomed the Spirit of the Lord to come in and dwell with you. You have made him the guest of honor. You have rolled out the red carpet. He is sitting right there with you at the dining room table, on the couch. He's sitting with you in the chair. He's right there with you in the bed. He's at the office in the cubicle. He's riding with you in the car, on the bus, walking down the street, walking on the track, wherever you are right now. The Spirit of the Lord is there with you. I dare you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give glory and honor to God today, for truly he is good and he is worthy of all of our praise. We want to honor the men and women of God that labor with us and co-labor with us as we advance the kingdom of God. Our own Elder Dante Farmer, Elder Kathy Manyweather, and Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We truly honor the men and women of God. To our own Deacon Gwen, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is an honor, it is a privilege, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church worship experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I couldn't wait till this morning came so that I could gather with the saints of God, so I could gather with the church and have some worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to be in a building to worship the Lord. I don't have to be at a certain spot to gather together to congregate with fellow believers of Jesus Christ. You can do it in your home. I can do it in my home. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, saints, there is liberty. There is liberty. So we just truly honor the Lord today, and we give him thanks. We give him praise. And for those of you that are joining us for the first time, I am Pastor Kimberly Black. I serve as the lead servant for this great body of believers, people who love the Lord, people who love to work, who love to worship, and they love to pray. I am so excited to be a part of this great congregation, a part of this body of Christ, a part of this family, a part of these prayer warriors and these worshipers. So I just want to say welcome to you today. Thank you for coming to worship with us. It is my prayer that during this time together, something will be said that will strengthen your love relationship with the Lord, that will increase your faith and intensify your thirst and your desire to be in the presence of the Lord, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. As we look at our lesson today, we will understand and come to an agreement that in every community, there are people who have less than they need to maintain the lives. Today, the lesson is coming to challenge us to help us be the best Christian, the best believer, the best son, the best daughter of God that we can be.
Amen.
So today, how can we best meet the needs of everyone in our community? That's what it's all about, saints of God. It's not about me, my four, no more, but it's about how can I help reach the masses? How can I help let this dying world know that God is real and he is in control and he is in the midst of us? Even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of all of the violence and all of the racism and all of the sexism and all of the plantation capitalism, God is still in control and God is still in the midst of his people. It's time for the people of God to make this their prayer and make this their heart's desire. It's time for the people of God all over the world to begin to sing this song and make this your daily anthem.
So the song says, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, 'cause yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all says, and bodies are still being raised. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here. Thank you.
come and do.
Father, here we are, O God, in your presence. Father, we have declared that we are here for you to move. For when you move, miracles happen. For when you move, signs and wonders come before our very eyes. When you move, O God, heaven is open. God, we lift up holy hands to you today. Father, we come kneeling in your presence. Humbly before your throne of grace, oh God, we come to worship you, to magnify you, to lift you up, and to exalt you. You are good, oh God, all by yourself. There's none like you, God. We call you faithful. We call you holy. We call you righteous. We call you Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. God, you are a great God and you're worthy to be praised. Father, we come today and we ask God that you would forgive us of all of our sin, all of our unrighteousness, God, all of our transgressions, God. We come, God, because we know that it's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from all iniquity. God, we ask that you would purge us with your hyssop, wash us thoroughly in the blood of the Lamb. Create within us, oh God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Father. Oh God, we, God, are sinners saved by your grace. God, we're saints struggling with sin. And God, we ask that you would forgive us. God, we know that you love us because you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. We're grateful today. We're thankful today. And we honor you today. God, we come to bless your name today. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit will rest, rule, and abide within our hearts and our homes. That you, God, will save, heal, and deliver today. God, we lift up everyone that's on this call today. Touch your people, oh God. Heal, God, troubled minds. Heal, God, wounded spirits. Heal, God, infirmed bodies. Heal, God, broken relationships. Heal, God, financial struggles. Heal your people today, oh God.
as we stand before you to worship you, Lord, we just bless you and we just honor you, Father. Oh. God, we want you to know that we appreciate you for all the things that you have done. And God, even in this pandemic, if you don't do nothing else but keep the coronavirus away from our dwelling place, God, we will continue to give you praise.
Yes,
we will continue to exalt your name.
Yes,
Father, we pray for every leader, every religious leader, every faith-based leader today. We pray for every governor, every mayor, oh God, that is trying to make the best decision for the people. I pray that you would give the men and women that govern over us godly wisdom. Give them insight, Father, to what it needs to, the plan needs to be to keep us safe. Then, God, let us be obedient to them that have rule over us.
Yes, God,
we lift up our nation to you today.
Yes.
We pray for President Donald Trump. We pray for President-elect Joe Biden.
Yes,
God, we ask that you would keep your hand upon them and that you would lead them and guide them, God, and that they would love mercy and do justly and walk humbly before you, God. We cry out today, Father, for this nation.
Oh.
God, we ask that you would bless our houseless brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We would ask, God, that you would bless our incarcerated brothers and sisters. God, we ask that you would, God, protect and heal, God, our brothers and sisters that are struggling with addictions today. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would watch over our brothers and sisters that are living in fear, God, who are being domestically abused, Father, who are being mentally and physically abused, God. Watch over your people, God, our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors. Father, we humble ourselves before you today, and we give you glory and honor. Father, as we come now to worship you in spirit and in truth, we, God, we lift our hands in the sanctuary.
Yes,
we give you glory and honor. You are good and you are worthy to be praised.
Yes,
you are magnificent, oh God.
Yes.
You are large and in charge, oh God.
Yes,
and so, God, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. God, we clap our hands in the sanctuary. We open up our mouths and give you praise in the sanctuary. I know that we are not on Mallory Avenue. I know that. I know that we are not in the physical building of what we call church, but church is inside of me, and I am a sanctuary. I am the temple where the living God lives.
Yes,
and so,
God,
therefore, this temple will give you praise.
Yes.
This temple will magnify your name. This temple will glorify you. This temple will exalt you, oh God. For you are worthy to be praised, oh God. And so we clap our hands, oh God. We clap our hands, oh God. We lift our hands, oh God. We lift up our eyes, oh God, to the hills from which cometh our help. And God, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
This time I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful. Have done. Look at him and tell him, yes, I'm grateful. The victory that we've won. Tell him I could go on and on. About your works. Because I'm grateful. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Oh, young people, I need y'all to come right down here in front of the stage.
Up forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are my our grateful folks at today? Where are all the grateful folks? If you're grateful, just stretch forth your hands and say hallelujah. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because God is good and he is a great Lord of all gods. He is great. Great are you, Lord, and he is good. Amen, amen, amen. If your blood ain't flowing by now, if your heart ain't beating real fast by now, I don't know what can help you this day, but because we're in the presence of the Lord, you should be excited and rowdy, rowdy, and just ready, ready, ready to receive from the Lord on today. Amen. Truly, God is so good, and he's so worthy of all praise. Reading to you our mission statement. We believe that we will transform this community by developing fishers of men and women. It is our goal to catch and cultivate the lost that they may have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which will cause them to celebrate him, commune with the saints, and work with us to fulfill the Great Commission. And that is who we are, amen. Not only who we are, but that's what we do, amen. I am just so proud, godly proud, to be a part of this congregation, to be a leader among leaders. Amen. Just a few pastoral observations. As you all know, that this is my normal time to be on vacation, but because of COVID, it's a staycation. Come on here, somebody. It's a staycation. And so I am off work. I am off duty, and I am going to enjoy just being home and being with family. Even though we can only congregate with six of us, from two different households. Amen. Y'all, come on now. We got to obey the rules. We got to obey the rules. And if we have more, then be wise, be smart about it. Amen. Everybody must sit in the house with a mask. You must have doors and windows open so that you can get fresh air. And you ain't got to sit up in the house all day long. Amen. Just stop in for a few minutes, grab a piece of pie and a piece of turkey, and then hit the deck, man. Keep it pushing, amen. But whatever it is, let's do all things decent and in order. Please stay safe, amen. Amen. Stay safe. Amen. That's all I have to say about that. Stay safe. We want to give a shout out to our evangelism and our outreach team on yesterday. All weekend, they have been putting it down. They've been putting it down. Friday night, Elder Farmer and his team, Brother Gary Black the second and Sister Tanya Jones, they went and shopped for the Willamette TPI shelter. They delivered dinner. So they had fried chicken, baked chicken, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, green beans, dinner rolls, and all the pie you could think of. Amen. And so that was Friday night. So thank you to that team. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then on Saturday, we got together, and I want to tell you that it was a joint effort all day long Saturday. Mother Kimmins packed up the houseless care packets, and each Friday night, and each packet had a glove, a hat, a blanket, and a hand warmer. She packed that up. Brother Kimmins from the men's ministry, he busted open all those boxes and pulled out all those sleeping bags. And then on Saturday, they came. Brother Gary came over, and he loaded up my car, and we went out and separated them. Sister Tanya took some. Elder Farmer took some. Sister Kamisha took some. So the ministry, I said Brother Gary got some. So the ministry, everybody was involved. The mothers, the deaconesses, the men, the youth, the music ministry. And then on yesterday, I ain't done, y'all, because we was busy. On yesterday, we were blessed. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church shared with us a resource. We went out yesterday. Brother Farrell rented us a U-Haul truck, and him and Deaconess Celeste met us out at a storage unit, and we loaded up. Well, we didn't. Brother Jeremiah, come on, y'all. Brother Jeremiah, Elder Farmer, Brother Gary, Sister Deaconess Celeste Mack, they loaded up that. Sister Kamisha, they loaded up that U-Haul truck full of toys, coats, blankets, gloves, and I mean full. I thank God for the Maranatha Church family. That's where everything is being housed at, and we will be doing a toy distribution. Won't be no toy drive or toy giveaway because we are still in COVID. We want to do it right, but we will. We have adopted the Tender Mercies Daycare Center ran by missionary Tam Hopkins. We will adopt her daycare center and give to them. And we will be adopting families from Kairos PDX, which is a charter school which is ran by a group of African American women right here in our community. We will be adopting families from there, and we will be adopting families from Albina Head Start. You know, that's our heart. Mother Nancy Kimmons used to work there. Evangelist Sue Carey used to work there. I grew up there. Sister Kamisha works there now. Yeah. And so Mr. Ronnie Herndon is a close family friend of ours. And Miss Lillian Ashton Waddle, that's family to us. Miss Gladys Waters, Miss Carolyn Young. I can keep going on. Miss Tina Clegg. I can keep going on and on and on talking about Albina Head Start. It's dear to my heart. So we will be adopting families from those identities, those organizations, which will help make the job for us easier to get those toys and those coats and tennis shoes, y'all. Mm. Get all of that stuff out into the community. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We also gave out our seven $200 gift cards on yesterday. Yes, yes. We were busy, y'all. We were busy. And so thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I have. So let me tell you, this week is Thanksgiving. And so there will be no Bible study on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But we do have prayer on Tuesday night at 9 and Thursday night at 9. So I want to encourage you, and I want to invite all of you to connect with us next week during prayer time. And it's only an hour, and we invite you to pray. We invite you to read a scripture. You feel free to listen in, but it always feels good when there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people on the line and all of them have said something. Woo! You have a hallelujah good time in the Lord. You really learn something, you hear something, and so you have a good time in the Lord. So we want to invite you to join us for prayer on Tuesday and Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. That phone number is 774-220-4000. And then you want to do the code, which is 55558 pound. Amen. Mute your phone until you get ready to pray or read a scripture or sing a song. But we want to encourage you to join us Tuesday and Thursday night for prayer. And remember, there is no Bible study this Wednesday. I want you to spend time with family, spend time preparing your food and getting yourselves together to be thankful unto God on Thursday. Amen. And if you're at home like me and you have nothing to do, let me tell you, Netflix has some wonderful shows on TV. Amen. I know she said, this ain't church. This ain't church. She talking about Netflix. Hey, I'm a well-rounded, I'm a holistic leader. I believe in making sure everybody gets everything they soul heart needs. Amen. Netflix has some awesome shows lined for the body of Christ. There's Voices of Fire. If you like watching competitions, Pharrell Williams and his uncle Bishop Williams, they did something like a American Idol or The Voice. Just looking to build a 75 voice choir. Ooh. Check it out. It's on Netflix. Amen. And then there is I hope I'm saying this right. It's Jingle Jangle. I think that's what it's called. Felicia Rashad is on there. It's a beautiful holiday story. So I want to encourage that you watch that. Maybe you don't have Netflix, but you have Amazon Prime. Regina King has an excellent movie on there, telling the story of Sam Cooke, Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X all in one movie. Oh, my goodness. You all got to catch it. You got to catch it. And then if you have HBO, look, y'all say, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing all week long, y'all, is watching TV. If you have HBO, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air has done a 30-year reunion. Ooh. Oh, and everybody says it's nothing but laughs and cry. So get your tissue because you're going to cry and you're going to laugh. So that's what I have for pastoral observation. Just I want you all to have a good time in the Lord. I want you to enjoy yourself. Amen. Remember to pray. We're praying for, we have a prayer list here. We're praying for our own Mother Gloria McClendon. We're praying for Sister Sharon Taylor, Mother Carolyn Mays, Mother Judy Harris, Sister Bonnie Harris, Sister Ruth Simon, Sister Patty, Sister Sonia, Sister Katie, Sister Yolanda Minifee. We're praying for Brother Elliot William Callier. We're praying for Dr. T. Allen Bethel and the Maranatha Church family. We're praying for Pastor Teresa Kelly. We're praying for Brother Eric in Phoenix, Arizona. We're praying for Dr. Johnny Pack. I also want you to add to your prayer list Pastor Matt Hennessy, sharing with him on yesterday, and he's getting ready to go and have a meeting tomorrow with the governor, and then Wednesday he has a meeting with the Portland Trailblazers. And let me tell you what's happening. I love my Saturday night prayer call with the pastors because, like I told them last night, iron sharpens iron, and you learn from other pastors. The Catholic Church are really suffering. Our Catholic brothers and sisters are really suffering. Didn't realize this until last night, but for them not to take sacrament every Sunday, for them, it's called the Eucharist, for them not to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, it's damnation to their soul. That's their faith. That's what they believe. And they believe that taking the Eucharist is all a part of what holds their salvation together. Well, because of the governor's restrictions all across the country, they are not being able to provide their congregants with sacrament, with the Eucharist. And so what Pastor Hennessy is going to do this week is meet with the governor to help ease up some of the restrictions where the Catholic Church can provide this service and this ministry to their congregants. And what he's going to do is ask the Portland Trailblazers to free up their parking structure at the Rose Quarter, allowing people to drive into the parking structure. The priest will give out sacrament and give a blessing, and they keep driving through. So you all be praying for Pastor Hennessy. Be praying that the Portland Trailblazers will have a yes in their heart and their spirit, and that the governor can help them accommodate this, because we don't want nobody to feel like they cannot continue to worship their God. Now, we would be really mad and really sad if the governor told us that we couldn't use Blog Talk and we couldn't use Facebook and we couldn't use Instagram. Hmm. We couldn't use the free conference call. We would be mad. We would be down there fighting and trying to make some stuff happen. Well, we know that our faith is not just tied to the Lord's Supper. Our faith is tied to our time, our talent, and our treasure that we give to God wholeheartedly and freely and willingly. And so let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. Let's remember to pray for all of them. Amen. Amen. Let's keep praying. We also want to pray for the Kofi family. We want to remember, I don't know if you all had the opportunity to be in a worship experience with Brother Tay-Tay. But I remember when Pastor Gary was living and Greater St. Stephen's didn't have a musician, Brother Tay-Tay was our first musician. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that heard anything about the car accident, about the young man that was killed over on Highway 99 in Clackamas on last Thursday night. That was Brother Tay-Tay. So the body of Christ has really suffered a blow, really suffered a hard hit. Amen. I told you all, COVID ain't killing everybody. Amen. And so let's remember to pray for the family of Brother Tay-Tay, his mother and his brother. Let's keep them lifted up in prayer. Talking to Pastor Hennessy, and Brother Tay-Tay was with them on last Sunday for worship. He came in and he played for them during their 11 o'clock service, and he stayed and had dinner with them as they celebrated First Lady Hennessy's birthday. And so it kind of hit some of everybody. So all of us have been hit by this. And so we want to remember to pray for them. Thank you, Brother Farrell, for reminding me of this. I hadn't forgot about it. I just had not had it on my radar to mention to the church family today. So thank you, Brother Farrell, for reminding me of that, because I did mention it last night in prayer. And so we definitely want to pray for that family. Well, you all, it is word time, and I'm excited because today Elder Farmer is coming to deliver the word to us. But before I yield this call over to him, I do want to say to anybody that's on this line, if you are worshiping with us today for the first time, please press 1 on your phone, and so that we can bring you on live, so that we could greet you and say hello to you, and just let you know how excited we are that you came to worship with us. Maybe you're here on the line and you said, I've been here for a while. I've come and I've worshiped for a while, and I've been looking for a church home because I need to get plugged into community. I need to get plugged into family. I need to get with a body of believers that are praying, that are studying the word of God, that are worshiping and still doing ministry in this pandemic. If you are here on this line today and you want to unite with the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church family, press 1 on your phone, and we can bring you on live, and we can bring you in and honor you as joining our congregation, joining our family. We just want you to know that we love you today and we appreciate you. So we want to give anybody that time. If you want to say hello to us, press 1. If you want to join our church family and come a part of the work that we're doing to advance the kingdom of God, press 1. Amen. Well, it's word time, and y'all know that I love the word, and I love some good word. Amen. I want to read our devotional reading, and following the devotional reading, the next voice you will hear will be that of Elder Dante Farmer. The devotional reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, working together with him, we strongly urge you not to receive God's grace in vain by turning away from sound doctrine and his tender mercy, merciful kindness. For he says, at the acceptable time, the time of grace, I listen to you and I helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Put no obstruction in anyone's path so that the ministry will not be discredited. But we commend ourselves in every way as servants of God, in great endurance, in suffering, in hardship, in distress, in beating, imprisonment, in riots, in labors, in sleepless nights, in hunger, in purity and sincerity, in knowledge and spiritual insight, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in speaking the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand, like holding the sword to attack, for the left, like holding the shield to defend, amid glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, branded as deceivers and yet vindicated as truthful, as unknown to the world, yet well known by God and his people, as dying, yet we live, as punished, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet bestowing riches on many, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. And the word of the Lord is blessed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader, the hearer, and the doer of his holy word. For this passage of scripture is how we do ministry like Jesus. Elder Farmer, I yield the call over to you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is an honor and it is a joy to be able to be the one presiding over this word. Thank you to the angel of the house, Pastor Black, for our devotional reading. This is the exceptional time. Our devotional reading this morning will be, for those who have our Bible of school lesson, will be coming from page 135, and the title theme is Sharing Love. Our scripture reading on the theme today will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through chapter 5, verse 11. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, O Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise to witness your glory, O Heavenly Father. O Heavenly Father, at this time, O Heavenly Father, I ask that you humble me. O Heavenly Father, touch me, O Heavenly Father, to speak the word, O Heavenly Father, that you give me through your spirit. O Heavenly Father, may you open up the hearts and the minds, O Heavenly Father, of those who are on this call, O Heavenly Father, to receive a word not from me but from you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you and I glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. By the end of our Aim or Change lesson, we will explore the Jerusalem church's practice and witness of communal sharing. Repent of any idolatrous attachment to material goods and create a plan to increase our giving for the common good. The reading of our lesson today, starting at verse 32 of chapter 4 of Acts. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. But there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, Was this the price you and your husband received for the land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, How could the two of you think of conspiring to test the spirit of the Lord like this? The young man who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young man came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. I had just read to you Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through Acts chapter 5, verse 11. May God add a blessing to the reader, doers, and hearers of his word. Getting into this, really breaking it down, because there's a lot of meat and potatoes here, but one thing we're going to learn from today's lesson is, one, gospel and generosity, and lesson two, holiness versus hypocrisy. The people, places, and times. Barnabas means son of encouragement in Aramaic. This was the name given by the apostles to Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Barnabas was an early convert to Christianity. His character and faith soon brought him into a position of leadership in the church. When Paul was first converted, many of the believers were afraid to accept him. Barnabas eased their fears by speaking to the church on behalf of the apostle. Barnabas was one of Paul's companions during the early part of his ministry. And then it goes into really talking about Barnabas and him being a Levite. The Levites were the priestly tribe of Israel. All of Israel's priests were descended from this tribe. However, there is a fundamental difference between priests and Levites. All priests come from the tribe of Levi. However, not all Levites can become priests. They must be descendants of Aaron. Priests are consecrated and were the only ones that could minister at the altar and enter into the holy places. Levites were purified and were set aside to help the priests in performing their duties. A little bit more on the background to really digest what is being filled in the spirit and what it's talking about in gospel and generosity. Luke notes at the beginning of Acts that his first book, which we know as the Gospel according to Luke, was an account of all that Jesus began to do and teach. This statement suggests that the book of Acts is to be understood as a book that is fundamentally about Christ's continuing work in the world through his body, the church. In Acts chapter 4, 32 through verse 37, the focus of the narrative in Acts shifts from a focus on Peter and John to a focus on the new Christ-following community. At this point in the story, Peter and John have just been released from the custody of the Sanhedrin, and they have told the community of faith about God's faithfulness to them in the midst of political persecution. This then sets the context for what is recounted in these verses, specifically the fact that the believers share all they had with each other. As we witness the generosity of the community of faith, we also witness the heightened stakes of the first years of the church in the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Each of these narratives, the reader is encouraged to consider the fact that the communal life to which Christ calls us in union with him is a radical one. Now going more in depth into verses 32 through 37 of chapter 4. Acts 4 begins with the imprisonment of Peter and John. They were preaching the gospel. They were told not to. And so therefore they had to bear witness before the Sanhedrin, which was the religious leaders at this particular time, the same, the Pharisees and the scribes, those who were opposing Jesus. And so this continued work that is now being handed down to the apostles, they're going through the same persecution, but they're standing firm as examples of true faith. And so we're going to get deeper into this gospel generosity on what's being described. This is a typical This is typical of what the new Christians would face. Following the death of Jesus, the early Christians were persecuted and often treated as outcasts for their Jewish community and family. Despite the persecution, the church community is described as spirit-filled, praying, loving, and united community. That unity is shown economically through the sharing of goods. In the first few years of the church, followers of Christ voluntarily sought to meet one another's needs because they recognized that they were in a real sense united with one another in their faith in Christ. The giving is not merely a one-on-one meeting of needs, but a giving to a common pool under the authoritative wisdom of the apostles, who would then distribute according to need. This reveals both the generosity of this community and their trust in their Christ-ordained leadership. The context of this early church community is important to keep in mind here. Most importantly, they are a model of sacrificial giving. They give because their identities are rooted in the sacrificial giving of their Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christ gave generously of his life by coming, being born in the flesh, giving an example, so the apostles can identify, because this is what Jesus had told them when they were up in the upper room, that how you love one another, the love that the body has for one another identifies who we are in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus had told his apostles, that he said that the Spirit will bring to remembrance the words that I've told you. So as the Spirit is moving through the apostles is giving an example on what it means to be generous. But this is that sharing that love, not out of needs as far as material needs, but as a genuine need of love. When you see somebody in need, that's that faith in works. That's that evidence of this is one of those who belongs to Christ Jesus. And it's evidence in how we share our love. We are a light of the world, and so through the Spirit of grace, we have an opportunity to share our love and our faith with others. And so this is an example that the apostles is exemplifying amongst the early church and the believers. That unity is shown economically through the sharing of goods. In the first few years of the church, followers of Christ voluntarily sought to meet one another's needs because they recognized that they were in a real sense united with one another in faith in Christ. The context of this early church community is important to keep in mind here. Most importantly, they are a model of sacrificial giving and going back to that identity because it's rooted in Christ Jesus. And as he gave for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus graciously took on human flesh in order to save humanity. So we also have a duty. This is that faith and works. So also the community of faith is encouraged to give sacrificially to one another and to those in need. In those terms, this is not a suggestion, but rather an imperative. If the church is to be the body of Christ, they must exhibit the sacrificial love that Christ showed and commanded. The question being asked here: how should today's church view the actions of the early church? Are we supposed to live communally now? The word is still alive, living, and active. What Pastor described in her pastoral observations about the outreaches and how we came together and we went out, there was a need. We were obedient to the Spirit. It wasn't just, no, we just doing this just for show and just the seek approval of men, but we were doing it because we were guided by the Spirit, and the Spirit of grace provided in order for us to carry out the Spirit's work. God is the one that gets the glory. We were obedient servants, playing follow the leader on the freeway, going to go working hand in hand, showing one in love for one another, for kids that are in need, for parents and families that are in need, for those that have a need in these times. It's the church that bears witness that God is still alive and active, and his word moves through his believers. This is the example that Christ and the apostles were showing on how the church should be. The church then and the church now should be united. That means that the Spirit is still alive, moving, and active, but we have to be obedient to it. Reading this versus holiness versus hypocrisy, it says in the Garden of Eden, sin was met by expulsion. In the wilderness, after emancipation and Exodus, when the covenant people of God grumble against their Redeemer, they were punished with wandering until the resisting generation died. At these pivotal moments in his community, the stakes are extremely high, and it is consistent biblical theme that the Spirit of God holds his community to a high standard. After a beautiful example of gospel generosity, we are given a terrifying account of heinous hypocrisy. Pastor read in the devotional reading, do not accept God's grace in vain, because God will not be mocked. God is not a God of confusion. And we see this exemplified. Ananias and Sapphira are not struck dead for mere stinginess. After all, contributing one's goods to the apostles was a purely voluntary act. God loves a cheerful giver. Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead because they lied to the apostles and the one from whom the apostles received their authority, the Spirit of Christ. Peter explains this, 5 verse 3, reminding Ananias that there was no obligation to give. Ananias lied in order to appear generous. Wolves in sheep clothing. This hurt the faith community, and the Holy Spirit would not let that stand. The text ends with the first reference to the church in the Greek ecclesia. This goes back to that we are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells, that the church building is a place where believers come together, but the Spirit lives within the temple. We are that temple of the Holy Spirit dwells. In the book, from this point forward, this is the term used to describe the people of God, placing them in continuity with God's Old Testament ecclesia, the Israelites. God's standards do not change throughout the scriptures, but the resources that he has given his people have increased. The greatest of those gifts has been the giving of his own son and his own spirit. What prompted Ananias and Sapphira to lie? Do we see such hypocrisy in the church today? We see many examples of it. But the Spirit is clear. The Spirit gives us command on to live in the Spirit and to live in the flesh. The minute we become ruled by the flesh, we give in to that Spirit's desire, but not the Spirit of the Lord. God has given us an example on what it means to live for him in a way that he designed, in a way that glorifies him. And the things that are not of him, the things that bring dishonor and grace to his name. God is the one who will give judgment. It says that vengeance is his and that he will repay. But it's on believers to recognize that we're not lying to one another. No, 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 no. We're lying to God, and God is not going to be mocked, nor will God take sin in vain. He's given us an example on what it means to live holy, but not in hypocrisy. He's given us an example through the apostles, how they all had one thing in mind. There was no big me's, little you's. That was the issue that Jesus had dealt with when they were saying, who's the greatest among us? And he brought the child in and said, be like a child. Be humble. That's what true leadership is that humility. Paul talks about this in the book of Philippians chapter 2 about that example of humility, because it was rooted in sharing of his life. It was rooted in love. God loved us so much, so he sent his son. This lesson is talking deep and teaching us about what a spirit-filled life looks like. When we're ruled by the spirit in mind and in our hearts in order to go out and share that love. Not looking at the conditions that we find ourselves in and wanting to stipulate exactly when we're going to show that love, but being guided by the Spirit to go out. Making sure that our hearts is right and that it's not filled with hypocrisy that gets in the way of God receiving the glory. In order for the apostles to make this decision, they were led and guided by the Spirit. The Spirit led them and guided them to show what true holiness is and what hypocrisy looks like and knowing how to address it in a godly, decent order. I want to focus on what this liberating lesson. This text drives home the fact that Christian life is not an individualistic one. The community sharing of goods reminds us that when our brothers and sisters suffer, we suffer. The community sharing of goods, I'm going to read that again, reminds us that when our brothers and sisters suffer, we suffer. The scripture reminds us of our commitment to the needy because we are a covenant community of God. This does not mean that Christians do not have the joyous opportunity and responsibility to serve those outside the church. But it does mean that meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ ought to proceed from our hearts without controversy. This means that those among us who are poor, widows, orphans, single mothers, immigrants, and all who are marginalized and oppressed must be lifted. Here one can hear echoes that resonate with the African philosophy of Mbunta, often translated, I am because we are. In the body of Christ, individual and communal identity cannot be separated. The bond that connects us is not merely our common humanity, but even more deeply, our union with Christ. The call then is to concretely love our neighbors, especially our Christian neighbors. That is how the world will know us, by our love. That love, that's that banner that we wear upon us to identify, not because of our lips say that we belong to Christ, but by how we love. Remember earlier along, it was Barnabas that went before the apostles to bring Paul in because they was afraid of Paul. And as time went along, there was a sharp disagreement between the two. But they was able to reconcile because of that true love. It's okay to have disagreements. It's okay to see things differently. But at the end of the day, it's the spirit that should guide us to come together in unity of mind, a unity of the spirit, in order for us to lay aside differences, in order for the gospel to advance, in order for souls to be saved, in order to show the world what love is, and not by how we love, but how we were first loved by God sending his son, Christ Jesus, in order for us to share in that love of salvation poured out through his grace. The church is still alive, living and active because of the word of the Lord, because of his spirit that governs us now in order to obey, in order to know the difference between what sharing love is and what sharing hypocrisy is. If we start sharing more of God's love, it's the spirit that rules down deep into the heart to root out everything that is not of God in order for us to know the error of our ways and to really experience grace. Sometimes we have to go through some things to learn what that grace is in order for the spirit to resonate in our hearts, to recognize that if it wasn't for what Jesus did, we would still be lost in our ways. Continue sharing that love today as it was first shared with us. Our application for activation, getting ready to wrap this up. Individual application of this passage is rather simple, and yet one of the hardest things for many of us to do. I'm going to read that again. Individual application of this passage is rather simple, and yet one of the hardest things for many of us to do. Money is often an indication of one's priorities, and for the people of the early church, there was clearly the recognition that their money was not to be used just for their own pleasure, but rather it was a resource that God could use for the uplifting of their brothers and sisters. So the call then also goes out to each Christian to consider their finances in light of the grace that they have been shown in Christ. What kind of generosity does that call you to? It's leading us to what is it that God is placing in our hearts, whether if it's money, or whether if it's resources, whether if it's time. But the main thing is to be present in the present. What is the need that the Spirit is asking us to do? Is it just sending a joyful text to somebody that's in need that needed to hear a word of encouragement? Is it just checking in on somebody, just seeing how they was doing? Just to let them know that they was being thought of, that they was being prayed over. What act of generosity is the Spirit leading us to? And we have to understand, is it the Spirit that's leading us, or is it the flesh? This call applies to the individual and the community. As you consider your role in your family, in your church community, in your city, and in your country, what kind of steward are you being? In the light of Christ's sacrifice, the high stakes of Christian life, we must devote ourselves to prayer and communion with each other and with our God to make good use of the resources that he has given us to be beacons of his gospel in his world. That's the gospel of generosity. When we're not just merely just preaching the word and teaching the word, but we're actually living the word. It's rooted in our actions. So when people see us, it's not us that they see, but the Spirit of the Lord moving graciously through us, because we didn't taste it and see how good the Lord is. And we have no choice but to pour it out and share it, because it's too much for us to consume on our own. I pray that something was heard, something was felt, something the Spirit brought to remembrance on what true sharing of love not sounds like, but what it actually looks like. Thank you for this time. And Pastor, I now yield this call back over to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 What an awesome word on today, Elder Farmer. Truly, truly, God has used you today to help us be able to answer to the call to share love, not just talk about it, but to be about it. Thank you so much for that word. Thank you for breaking it down for us. And thank you for being a willing vessel to lead us and showing us how to share love. So we're just truly grateful today. We're truly thankful to God, and we're so honored. We pray that God will continue to bless you, Elder Farmer, that he will continue to deposit his Spirit inside of you and give you fresh revelation of his word, that you may be continue to teach us and to lead us and to help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such an awesome word. Thank you. I don't know about you all today, but my heart has been made glad. We're going to prepare now to receive our benediction. Following our benediction, there is a little song that just bubbles up in my spirit every time I hear it on TikTok, and I want to share it with you all. So don't hang up. I want you to hear this and just be blessed by the Lord in this song. But let's receive our benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. So may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, and share love every day. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you tonight at 8 o'clock for the Light of Portland broadcast. Be blessed.
Time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed. I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. count on God. He won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. Arms wide open, he always welcomes you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise.
My legs, and I can walk.